Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Would you give a warm welcome to Dr. Ed Glover? Love you, buddy. Bless you.
Bless you.
Hey, I want Ed just to take a moment and share with you, just before he gets into the message, some right just to hear some of the stuff that Urban Impact is doing. It's making a difference in our city. Thanks, Ed.
It's a privilege to do it. Well, Urban Impact. My wife and I, Tammy and I, who is actually singing in the choir today, she actually started the choir in our living room. Yeah, we had 12 kids, and then it grew to 30, to 40, to 50, and we would feed them, and they destroyed my kitchen. Finally, we got them out. But we had a great time. In the beginning years, matter of fact, we came to Pittsburgh in 1986, and we were part of the ministry team down at Allegheny Center Lines Church. But about 6 years into the ministry, we ended up buying a home, and it was on a street where 4 out of 5 homes were boarded up or unoccupied. So that gives you an idea of the environment that we were in around the church. It was very high risk, especially in the 80s. And we bought a home on a street where 4 out of 5 homes were boarded up because it was the closest street that we could get on, closest to the church. Now, at that time, there was only 6 people from the community that went to the church. We had 500 people, so it was a destination congregation. People drove from all over the city to go down to Allegheny Center. Then they would drive out. So they were only reaching 6 people in the community. So Tammy and I decided to move in, earn the right to be heard, love the people up close so that we could win that community. So buying this home, about 6 years into it, I walked out of my house and my car was missing, really stolen for the third time. Yeah, stolen for the third time. If you saw my car, you would know why they kept bringing it back. It was not a good looking car. So I'd find my car on the street and I'd bring it back home. Well, this one time I walked out of my house, it's gone again. I remember standing on the street, looking down the street, thinking to myself, man, am I wasting my time? Then I started praying. I said, Lord, am I wasting my time? Can we make any kind of a difference here in this community? And right then the Lord gave me this thought. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And then the Lord took my mind and helped me to understand if I could impact one person, then one family, then one block, we could transform the community. I want you to know that today on my block, there are no more homes boarded up. Today, yeah, praise God. Not just because of Urban Impact, but because of Allegheny Center, Urban Impact, Light of Life Ministries, Pittsburgh Project. I can go on and on talking about all the wonderful ministries on the north side and how we've worked together to transform that community. You know, the body of Christ works really well together. I know people talk about that we should work better and so on. I'll tell you what, the people that I'm working with, they do a great job. And what's amazing, when all the water goes up, all the boats go up with it. And what I love about your pastor is that he wants to not just put fences around what he's created, what God has used him to lead, but he's wanting to impact hundreds of pastors in ministries like mine, so that when all the water goes up, all the boats go up with it. So we can continue to fulfill the mission that God has given to all of us, which is to make disciples who make disciples. Well, today at Urban Impact Foundation, we're reaching thousands of people on the north side of Pittsburgh, as well as throughout the city. But just among children and youth, we're impacting 1,600 kids weekly, coming out, impacting those kids, making a difference in their lives. This past year, 400 of those kids responded to the gospel. Now, that's a lot of students, and we have to do Bible studies and disciple them. It's a lot of work, but it's really exciting. We serve about 27,500 meals to those kids with help from Light of Life Ministries. And what one wonderful statistic is this. In the past 8 years, years ago, we started a ministry called Options, helping kids transition out of high school, giving them options after high school, helping them to understand that there is life after high school. And what we tell them is you need to get on a bus. 5 buses you need to get on: college, trade schools, jobs, military, and ministry. When you get out of school, you need to head in that direction. I want you to know, God be the glory and honor, but I want you to know that 97% of the kids who come and are part of our Options program graduate from high school. And then, yeah. If you know anything about Pittsburgh Public Schools, you know that's an amazing statistic. But not only are they graduating, but they're transitioning out of high school and they're going to college. Trade schools, jobs, military, and ministry. 95% of the kids are transitioning onto one of those buses. Praise God. To help you understand the impact of that, remember when I told you that I walked out of my house and my car was gone for the third time? We were only 6 years into the ministry. Back in those days, we were thankful to see 40% of our kids graduate, but only 10% of our kids ever do anything after high school. That means that 90% of the kids we were working with were dead, on drugs, or in prison. So when I say to you that 97% of the kids are graduating and 95% of them are transitioning out of high school and going to college, trade schools, jobs, military, ministry, you need to put your hands together a lot harder than that and give glory and honor to God. Because God be the glory. God be honored. For his people, the people of God, are doing great things in the north side of Pittsburgh. And I'm so thankful that we are teaming up together. We have discovered Urban Impact and Victory Church. We believe we could do a lot more together than we ever could do apart. And I thank you as a church, I thank you as leadership, and I thank you, Pastor. Pastor John, for teaming up with us, and I believe we're going to see greater things. There's still 10,000 kids that still need to be reached on the north side. There are over 40,000 people that we have not yet reached on the north side. There's still a lot of work to be done. But what's exciting is that God has called us for such a time as this to be alive in this generation to do something that only we can do. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. I hope that I can come back next year and tell you all the wonderful things that have happened because we teamed up together for the glory of God. You know, I want to share a couple more things with you before I want to start. Pastor didn't know that he opened up a can of worms here now, but I'm going to share some things with you about Urban Impact. Two events I want you to think about. The one is called Light the Night. It's going to happen on December 4th and 5th. It's going to be up at Christ Church of Grove Farm. It's our Christmas special. If you love the kids that sang, they're going to be there that night, as well as another 200 plus other kids. And it's an amazing event. And I'd like to encourage you to come on that night. Pastor's going to tell you about that at the end of the service, remind you again. But I want to tell you about a second event. Event called Man Up Pittsburgh. Can you say that with me? Man Up Pittsburgh. It's going to happen right here in this church on 2016, I should say, on June 4th. June 4th, 2016. Be right here. Man Up Pittsburgh. I'm teaming up with Coach Tomlin, and we run an event. We've been running that event for 3 years. Its purpose is to impact us men between the ages 15 all the way up to 100 years old. So if you're 100, you can still come. So from 15 to 100, and it's all about impacting men to help us to love God, love our wives, love our kids, and impact the fatherless in our communities as well as down in the city of Pittsburgh. You know, I took this on because I started figuring out something. I figured out that one of the greatest problems in America is fatherlessness. I want to read some statistics to you to help you understand how significant it is that you as a church are taking on this issue with Urban Impact. Opening up your building is opening up. Last year, we sold out, so we had to find a bigger venue. So that's why we've come here. Your pastor has been preaching at it for the last 2 years, and I'm so thankful. My team, those of you on the tech team, my team is so excited about working with you, about what we're going to be able to do to encourage men, not to beat you up, but to build you up, so that you will love God, love your kids, love your wife, impact the children around you that are fatherless. But hear these statistics. This changed my life. This helped me to understand that I believe this is one of the greatest problems in America. You know, 90% of children who run away from home are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state institutions are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists, 63% of youth suicides, 71% of teenage pregnancies, 71% of high school dropouts. And I can go on and on and on telling you about statistics of kids that are fatherless. When you take on the issue of pregnancy, when you take on the issue of dropouts, whatever you're going to take on, whatever that is, it's like spider webs, folks. It's like you're knocking down spider webs because we have never really dealt with the main problem, the main issue. The spider in the room is fatherlessness. When we deal with that issue, We're going to transform our culture and our communities. Hear me on this. They did the stats in 2012. They did the consensus of the country. And what they discovered is that 41% of all children that were born in America were born out of wedlock. 41% of all of our kids are growing up without a dad in 2012. This has grown 275% since the 70s. This is not a problem. This is an epidemic in America. But if we could turn that tide, I believe that men want to be responsible. I believe that men want, but when you grow up from generation to generation without fathers, without people with fathers neglecting you, being more running after the American dream than being responsible for their kids and loving them up close and personal. When that starts happening, we got to turn that tide. Men, I'm not going to beat you up. We're going to build you up. We're going to encourage you. We're going to help you to understand that God created you for a purpose, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning for all of us. Don't miss this event. 2016, June 4th, right here. Ladies, don't let your men miss it. God bless you. All right, now, all of that to be said, now let's get into our sermon. This morning we're talking about the fact that God has created all of us for a purpose. Our passage is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. That's our primary passage. And then we're going to be looking at a secondary passage found in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. But before we begin, let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, that you're here in this room. Lord, I would ask that you would forgive me of any sin that would hinder the preaching of your word, and that you'd forgive me, and that you would cleanse me, and you would fill me with your spirit, that you would speak to your people, that you wouldn't just stir us, but that you would change us, that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of it. For Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many of you have heard of Helen Keller? Could you raise your hand? Most of you, if not all of you. And the reason you know who she is because she made a tremendous impact on the world, despite the fact that she had a number of limitations. And one of those limitations was she was blind. And a reporter came to her once and said, "Helen, what's worse than being blind?" And she said, "Able to see, but have no vision. Able to see, but have no vision." What I believe what God wants to do for all of us this evening or this morning is this. I believe that he wants us to get a clear vision of his purpose for our lives. His purpose for our lives. For he's the one that's created us. He's the one that's given us life. Someone said this about life once. They said, life is like a coin. You can spend it anywhere you want, but you can only spend it once. What was he saying? He was saying, you have one life. Make it count. You have only one life. Make it count. There's no doubt in my mind you didn't come to this Sunday morning service in hopes to figure out how you could waste your life. That's not why you came. You know, I've been in ministry now for over 30 years. I've never had anybody come up to me and say, "Pastor Ed, can you help me figure out how I can waste my life?" Nobody's ever done that. I'm not saying there haven't been people around me that wasted their lives, but they haven't asked me to help them to do that. But if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times, people coming up to me and saying, "Ed, can you help me figure out why I'm on the planet? What I'm supposed to do? How I can be used of God to impact, to use my life to make a difference, to impact people's lives? Ed, can you help me?" And every time they ask me that question, I take them to the passages I'm taking you this morning. We're starting out with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and it says this. "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, what I want to do is I want to break that down. I want to look at this word called workmanship. Now, throughout the scriptures, it's very clear that God has created everything. He's the creator, and we are his creation. He's the designer, and we are his design. But in this passage, it's referring to God as the craftsman, and we are his handiwork. We are his workmanship. Did you know that you are one of a kind, custom designed creation of God's? There'll never be another one like you on the planet. No one else will ever have your fingerprint, your voice print, your footprint, your DNA. You're an original, never be another one like you on the planet. You know, they used to say this old saying, when they made you, when God made you, he broke the mold. That's true about every one of you in this room. You're an original. Never be another one like you on your planet. You're a custom designed creation of God's. My son, Jonathan, he was 7 years old. I have four kids, Nathan, Joshua, Jonathan, and Abby. He was the youngest of the boys. He walked out of church one day, coming out of Sunday school. He was 7 years old. Snow was falling from the sky. Walked out with his mother, my wife, Tammy. And he looked up at his mom and he said, Mom, they told me in Sunday school that God created all the snowflakes. And he created every one of them different. Is that true? And Tammy looked at him and said, yeah, honey, I believe that's true. And he took a couple more steps and they got this funky look on his face. And he said, Mom, does God ever run out of ideas? And Tammy looked at him and said, no, there's no bottom to God's creativity. You know, that's not only true about snowflakes, but that's true about each and every one of you. You're an original. Never be another one like you on the planet. You know, David discovered this great truth, and he wrote it down for us, being led by the Holy Spirit in Psalm 139, verse 13. He says this, for you created my inmost being. Now, you there is referring to God. Inmost being is referring to your liver, your lungs, your kidneys, your heart. God created that. Then he goes on and he says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. In other words, he took your organs, God did, and then he knitted them together. He connected them. How? With your veins and your arteries. And then in verse 15, it says, my frame was not hidden from you. That word frame is referring to your bone structure, your skeleton. Then I love verse 16. It says this, your eyes saw my unformed body. That word unformed literally means embryo. So the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, it was God who was creating you. Not Mother Nature, not even your mom and dad. God used your mom and dad to make you, but God is the one who created you in your mother's womb. You know what that means? That means that you're not a mistake. That means you're not an accident, and you're definitely not here by chance. No, God created you. And when he created you for a purpose. Never be another one like you. Uniquely designed, created to do something that only you can do. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you know, when I make those statements, it's amazing how many people will walk up to me and they'll say, Pastor Ed, can I talk to you for a moment after the service? And I'll say, sure. And they'll come to me and they'll say this. They'll say, I know that God created me. I believe what the Bible said. I know I'm not here by accident. But can I tell you how I feel? Can I tell you how I feel? I feel like I'm a mistake. I feel like I'm an accident. I feel like I'm here by chance. You know, a lot of times when I speak these truths, especially on the north side with kids, they'll say those statements to me. And I'll look at them and I'll say to the little girls, you know, honey, why do you say that? To the young men, why do you say that? And they'll say this to me, because I don't know who my father is. I don't know who my mother is. Or I don't know who my mom or my dad is. And if they didn't want me, I must be an accident. I must be a mistake. And every time they say that to me, I say this to them. Listen, your mom and dad might have made some mistakes, but you're not one of them. You see, God used your mom and dad to make you. But God created you in your mother's womb. And he created you for a purpose. And see, when we go on in this verse, it says we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And I say to them, you know why you got to be created in Christ Jesus? It's because God created all of us. We are all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. And when you give your life to Christ, when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and you begin a relationship with him, in that moment, you become a child of the living God. In that moment, you join the family of God. And in God's family, this is what the Bible says. In God's family, there are no orphans because the Heavenly Father is the father of the fatherless. And when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he not only forgives you and gives you eternal life, but you become part of his family and you become a child of the living God. Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus Christ has used those truths to transform thousands of people's lives over these years. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you are a child of the living God, by the end of this service, I'm going to give you an opportunity so that you can know for certain that you are. But I'm believing now for a moment as we continue to speak that you understand that you've been created. But not only have you been created, but you've been chosen for such a time as this. Look what our passage says to us. It says that, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Check that out. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Then when you go to Psalm 139, verse 16, David said this, being led by the Holy Spirit, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. What's this whole idea of God knowing my days and they're written in the book before one of them came? What's this whole idea of God knowing about me ahead of time? You see, God is all knowing. That means he doesn't have to learn. And what that means, there are no surprises to God. He knows everything about the past, the present, and future of your life. He knows everything about you. And by the way, before he ever created the heavens or the earth, he knew about you. Someone said it this way. He said, if God would have had a wallet and he opened up that wallet, your picture would have been in it. He knew of you before he ever created anything, even created you. He knew of you. He had you in his mind. So folks, when you have been born, when you've been chosen. You've been chosen for such a time as this. He's created you absolutely unique. Never be another one like you on the planet. For what? For a purpose. And he has you alive sitting in that seat looking up at me for a purpose. And he's created you and he's chosen you for such a time as this to be alive in this generation to do something that only you can do. Now, Time Magazine was trying to figure out why and when people were born. And this is what they discovered. They discovered that when an average male releases sperm, he releases 500 million opportunities for birth. When it was your time to be born, he looked at those 500 million opportunities and he said, I want that one, and you were born. Say this with me. I am one. Now say it like you mean it. I am one. Now say it like you really, really mean it. I am one out of 500 million. The next time you begin to think, or believe, or someone suggests that you are a mistake, an accident, or here by chance, you remember, no way. I am one out of 500 million. God created me, and he's chosen me for such a time as this to be alive in this generation. I'm not an accident. God has a purpose for me. Again, when I speak these truths, it's inevitable when I go out into the foyer, someone's going to walk up to me and say, hey, Ed, you know what? I believe what you said. That's what the Bible says. But again, can I tell you how I feel? I just don't feel like God would choose me. Why would he choose me? If you knew how many times I've screwed up, how many times I've made a mess of things, I just don't. How do you know that God, why would God choose me? And every time they tell me or ask me that question, I tell them the same story I'm going to tell you. Everybody look right here now. This story I'm going to tell you is the absolute truth. It's about a young man. His name is David Busby. And David Busby grew up and he had all kinds of physical problems. Matter of fact, one of those problems took him home to be with Jesus. But he and I would travel around and we would speak to young people. You could tell that I love young people. Been doing it a long time. you know what? Your pastor loves young people. You know what? I was running around. I was looking out here at all those costumes, those kids that are out here. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it wonderful that you have a man who loves kids and loves you? I got to tell you, when he talks about you, it's like his face lights up. Him and his wife, they talk about you, their face lights up. They're so thankful. They're so proud of you. They're so excited about you as a people of God. Can you give this man and his wife a hand for me? You don't always find that. You just don't. Thank God for that. But I'm out and we're speaking to these kids. Now I don't, forget that. I'll move on. I'm speaking to these kids. And David tells a story. He tells a story about himself. It was amazing. He said, when I grew up, he was in eighth grade. And one Saturday morning, he just woke up and he said, I'm going to try to play basketball today. He never played basketball in his life. He said, I'm going to try to play. And he knew that he could because out in the backyard of his house, his big brother and about 25 other guys on a Saturday morning were always playing basketball. Beautiful day. He got dressed. He went out in the backyard. And sure enough, there's his big brother and all of his buddies out there playing basketball. So David walked out and said, hey, can I play? Can I play? And they said, sure, David. We haven't picked up teams. There's the basketball. Go to the foul line. You make the shot. You get to choose who's on your team. So David said, he walked over, grabbed the basketball. Now you got to understand, he never played basketball in his life. Grabs the basketball and he shoots it. And he goes on and describes it. He said he missed the backboard, the rim, the net, the air. I mean, he missed everything. So his big brother comes up behind him, grabs the basketball, goes to the foul line. Then he tells us about his brother. He said his brother was an unbelievable athlete. He saw his brother make 109 foul shots in a row. That's a good athlete. He goes to the foul line. He makes his foul shot. 25 guys are lined up in front of him. David said, my brother picked up his long, strong arm and he pointed at every one of us. And then finally, his finger landed on David. He said, David, I choose you. And David looked at him, me? He said, yeah, I choose you. David said he started walking off the line, and then he described his brother. He said, my name is David, and my brother should have been called Goliath. He was huge, huge. He said, I came up to my brother's belly button, and as I'm walking up to my big, massive brother, as I'm walking up to him, I realized this had nothing to do with basketball. And when I got to him, I just sunk my head into his belly, he said, I just began to weep. And he said that his brother just put his arms around him and he held him there. And then he said this. He said, it all stopped being about basketball. For my brother didn't choose me because I was a good basketball player. He chose me because he loved me. He loved me. Listen, God has created you and he's chosen you for such a time as this. Not because you're perfect. Not because you're the best. But because he loves you. Yeah, he loves you. He's created you and he's chosen you for such a time as this to be alive in this generation. You know what? You could have been chosen to be alive in the 1500s. You could have been alive in the 1800s. But you're alive today, sitting in that chair, looking up at me. Why? Because God has a purpose for your life. He's created you unique. Never be another one like you. He's chosen you for such a time as this to do something that only you can do. I can't do what you've been created to do. You can't do what I've been created to do. But I'll say this to us as the body of Christ. If we ever get about doing what all of us are created to do, we can turn the tide in America. We can turn it around. Listen, Jesus took 12 guys and he invested in those 12 men. One of them betrayed him. Then he went after Paul. He brought him onto the team and they transformed their generation. It can happen. If you just took 12 of us and we decided to really go all out for Jesus Christ and really commit ourselves to that and nothing keep nothing from keeping us from doing what God created us to do, I believe we'd transform at least Cranberry. Can we believe that? Okay, maybe not the whole world, but can we change Cranberry? Absolutely. And what I'm so excited about, you are. When I walked around there, seeing all those little kids out there, all those families, all of you in this place, don't forget that God is with you. He's empowering you, and you're changing people's lives. Don't be the guys that walked into the promised land and said, the giants are too big, we can't take them. Be like Joshua and Caleb and said, we're going to take this land. Amen? Let's believe it. Let's believe it for Cranberry, and let's believe it for the North Side. And when we partner up together, that's what I'm so excited about. We partner up together, we're going to do things that we thought we could never do, because God's going to do something beyond our imagination. I believe that. If we're not going to believe that, then let's just go home, right? Pack up, go home, forget it. Our God is huge. He's big. He's about his business. He created you and me for a purpose for such a time as this. He's chosen you to be alive in this generation, and he's calling us to do something. What is it that he's calling us to do? Well, let's look at that together. This is what it says. It says in the scriptures, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. What in the world are those works? Now listen, as believers, you have jobs, you have vocations, you have certain things that God is asking you to do. I'm not talking about your job and how you make a living. That's how you make a living. That's not who you are. You might be a teacher, you might be a plumber, you might be a doctor, you might be a lawyer. That's what you do for a living, but that's not who you are. Who you are is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a follower of him. And what you are is you're a missionary who happens to be a lawyer. You're a missionary who happens to be a teacher. You're a missionary on a mission to fulfill something that God created you to do. We are all here to make what? Disciples who make disciples. So let's look at that together. Here's what all of us are called to do. Every one of us in this room. This is our mission. Simply this. To know God and make him known. Can you say that with me? To know God and to make him known. Think about it. The two great commandments are what? To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we're to love God, to know him, and to love one another. That's an outcome of how we love God. If you want to know how well you're doing in your relationship with God, look at how you're doing in your relationships with one another. That's a mirror example of how you're treating God. You get that? If you want to know how well you're doing with God, whether you really love him, you look around your relationships and ask the question, evaluate, how am I doing with the people around me? For that's an example of how you really love God. He said, how can you love me, meaning God, and hate your brother? How can you love me and yet hate your neighbor? Can't be done. So if we're loving God, we're loving one another, then he gave us a great commission. The great commission is to go and make disciples of all nations. He said, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the world. We're on a mission. So we're to know God and we're to make him known. How do you do that? How do you know God and still make him known? I call them the three M's. The three M's. If you carry out these three M's, you will do it. You ready? Here they are. First, you got to mature in the likeness of Christ. Mature in the likeness of Christ. Two, you've got to have a ministry in the body of Christ. And three, you've got to fulfill the mission of Christ. Now, I'm taking it for granted that many of you in this room have a relationship with Jesus Christ. For the first purpose that he created you for is to have a relationship with him. If you're not sure that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, again, I'm going to give you an opportunity to know for sure that you are a child of the living God at the end of my sermon. But you'd be praying about that. But for those of us who have a relationship with God, we're here to bring glory and honor to his name. How do we do that? By maturing, having a ministry, and being on his mission. Let's look first of all at maturing. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Over in Romans 8, 28 and 29, it says this, all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose. And the purpose is that we become like Christ. How do you do that? By doing what you're doing. You've chosen well. If you want to know if you're in the will of God this morning, you are. Because the will of God is that you mature, that you come to a place where you are worshiping him, You're in the Word, you're praying, you're giving testimony of the things that He's done in your life, you're having fellowship with believers, and you're walking in this fullness of God's Spirit. If you do that, you are going to mature in the likeness of Christ. You're going to go deeper. You're going to be more intimate with Him. So my encouragement is keep coming where there's fellowship. Keep going to Him every day, not only today, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and keep growing so that you become more mature in the likeness of Christ. Second, that you need to have a ministry in the body of Christ. When you were born again, the moment you came to know Christ, you were born again of the Spirit. The Spirit of God has given you a gift, and you need to use that gift on the team. You see, the body of Christ is a team, and you play a position on the team. And God has given you a gift to be used on that team. But listen to this. Satan has a scouting report on every one of us in this room, and he knows who shows up and who doesn't show up. And when you're not there to use your gift, there's a hole on that team. And guess where he's going to hit the ball? Right where we should have been. And when you don't show up, friend, you are really handicapping the body of Christ. You need to use the gift that God has given you. You might have a gift for children. You might have a gift for young people, young adults, senior citizens, family, gifting. I don't know what it is, but make sure you use it because you need to have a ministry to the body of Christ. Last but not least is the mission. We need to fulfill the mission of Christ. And that's why I'm here today, to talk to you about that mission. Jesus said this about himself in Luke 19:10. He said, "I came to seek and save that which is lost." Let me ask you a question. Did he complete his mission? Absolutely. He went to the cross because we were lost. Did he want to go to the cross? No, he begged his Father, "If there's any other way, get me out of this." He said, "No." And he finally said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And he went to that cross and he died on that cross, but he was raised again from the dead. And when he walked out of that grave, he not only overcame sin, he overcame death, and he lives. And he's in this room right here, right now. Listen to me. You're not going to be any closer to the Lord Jesus Christ or to God than you are right now. When you go to heaven, you're not going to be any closer than you are right now. He's right here, right now in this room. You say, "Pastor Ed, how do you know he's in this room?" Because he said it. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's right here. He said, "But I don't see him." But do you see the oxygen in this room? But you're breathing, you know it's here. You can't see the technology waves flying through this room, but all you got to do is get a phone call and you know they're in the room. As I've been speaking, if God is speaking to you, is he's encouraging you, if you've been moved by anything of the Holy Spirit, you know he's in the room. So what's he saying to you this morning? What's he saying to you? He's saying, "I have created you, chosen you, and called you to fulfill a mission. And I went to that cross and I died for you and I was raised again from the dead and I have bought you with my blood." And he said, "I have walked out of the grave and I live and I dwell within you by my Spirit. And I'm asking you to, I'm counting on you to fulfill a mission." This is what he said to his disciples as he walked out of the grave. He said this in John 20:21. He said, "As the Father has sent me, now I send you." And what's amazing is those boys in that day took that literally, and then as before he ascended onto the right hand of the Father, Jesus said this. He said in Acts 1:8, "You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outer parts of the world." And what's amazing to me is that those boys in that day and that generation, they got that mission done. They went to Jerusalem, they went to Judea, Samaria, and outer parts of the world, and they don't have the technology that we have. They can't get on planes like we can. They don't have as much information as we do, but they had the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto death. And they got it done in that generation. Now it's been gone from one generation to another generation. Now it's our turn. It's our generation. And you and I are alive on such a day as this, hearing the preaching of God's word with great freedom. That might not always be here in America, but it is now. So there's this day, for such a time as this, we're alive. And Jesus, just as he was counting on his disciples back in the first generation, he's counting on you and me. And he's saying, for such a time as this, you're alive together. And that's why I believe for such a time as this, that Victory Church and Urban Impact Foundation have come together to do something that I think that is outstanding. is something that we could have never done apart. And that is to do this, to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outer parts of the world. If you haven't heard anything, listen to what I'm saying right here and right now. Listen to this. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and outer parts of the world. Listen. In the American church, since the 50s to now in 2015, do you think Christendom in America is on the rise, or do you think we've fallen backwards? Oh yeah, we're losing the day. Why is that? People come to me and they'll say, "Pastor Ed, tell me, how can we lose the Judeo-Christian ethic in America? In the 50s, everybody went to church. The Judeo-Christian ethic, they used to shut down on Sundays. I mean, it was amazing. We dominated the culture. How can we lose it in 65 years? How can we now not be the majority, but the minority? How did that happen? One of the reasons that happened is this, hear me, that the churches and the people of God in America went after their Jerusalem. I'm calling that their community where they live. They went after their community. And then they jumped over Judea and Samaria and they went to the outer parts of the world. And for the last 100 years, we've done a pretty good job taking the gospel around the world, and we need to continue to do that. We need to keep taking the gospel around the world because that's what Jesus Christ called us to do, to go to Jerusalem and the outer parts of the world. But somewhere since the 50s until now, we left Judea and Samaria. What am I calling that today? I'm calling that the inner city, the cities. We fled from them. We just left. And all the people who couldn't leave are still there. And the gospel has, we have developed strategies. We've developed models. We've raised money up. We've given people calling to go overseas, to plant churches in other cities, to do all kinds of things in other cities. But we don't have a plan or a strategy. Tell me where it is. Show me the plan. Show me the seminaries and the Christian colleges that have an urban track inside their college. Show me them, because I want to go and I want to get my missionaries that are living with me on the north side. We're going to have 24 urban missionaries living on the north side of Pittsburgh who raise their support, live in the community. People have asked me, how in the world do you turn those numbers? Because we have people who've committed themselves to that community, living among those people. Isn't that what Jesus did? He didn't shoot up to heaven, 6 days of the week and come one day down on the earth and tell us about himself. He came and he lived among us. He dwelt among us. He loved us up close and personal. You can't change people's lives until you've earned the right to be heard. And you don't do that from a distance. You got to come up close. That's why the urban missionaries are coming into the north side of Pittsburgh. My vision is to bring 100 urban missionaries in the city of Pittsburgh on the north side, because we've learned this. For every missionary we can bring in, we can impact 100 kids. And we're impacting those 1,600 kids. We still got 10,000 kids to go. But I'm telling you, God is raising up a force to be reckoned with. Now let me stop here. When you think of all of that, praise God. If we don't take advantage of this opportunity, if we don't grab a hold and start developing a strategy and a model. And matter of fact, Urban Impact Foundation has won 2 major awards, a national and international award from EPIC. And we've also won an award called the True Inspiration Award from Chick-fil-A. And how do we win those 2 awards? Because we're making an impact in our community. We're being recognized internationally and nationally. To God be the glory. It's taken us 30 years of hard work figuring out how to develop a model, how to develop a strategy to really, truly impact people's lives and make disciples out of disciples. And now for such a time as this, Victory Church and Urban Impact Foundation have hooked up. Do you catch this? To win the tide. If we don't stand up, the Muslims are going to win the day in America. Let me say that to you. They are taking our cities one person, one family, one block at a time. And we've got to stand up as Christians and take back our land. We got to stand up and take back our land. God be the glory. And I love it that your pastor has that vision, not to just be Jerusalem and other parts of the world, although he has that vision. But he understands that we've neglected Judea and Samaria for a long period of time, and now it's time to take the land. So how do you get involved? How do you make an urban impact? How do you really do that? By simply doing this, by going, praying, and giving. Going. Watch this. In the scriptures, Jesus said this to us, or said this to his disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples. The going is taking it for granted that we're all going to go. We're all going to do what he asked us to do. And what are we to do? We're all to make disciples who make disciples. So for you to come and make a disciple on the north side of Pittsburgh, you have to come down. So we've got an opportunity for you to go to the tables out in the foyer where you can sign up today to be a volunteer. There are so many opportunities. Believe me, it's only 30 minutes away. And we already have people from you already coming down and helping us, by the way. And those volunteers are amazing. Pastor, you've done a great job training your people. But as they come down, there's opportunities with sports and education, and arts, options, business. If you're a business person, we got all kinds of opportunities. Got opportunities to be in our office. It's amazing things. Tutoring kids. We're inside schools. We're outside of schools. We're changing the demographic of what happens in schools today on the north side of Pittsburgh. Great things are going on. Go out into the lobby. Sign up today. Be part of what God's doing. Second, you can pray. We've given you prayer requests in your bulletin. I'm asking you to take that bulletin, put it in your Bible, and pray. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in front of you where you do your devotions. But pick it up and please pray, because I'll say this. The church always moves on its knees. And prayer is the most significant thing I can ask you to do today. You might not be able to volunteer, but you can all pray. And if you pray, I'll say this to you. Prayer has kept my family, have kept me from many, many injuries. Yes, in the old days, not anymore, thank God. But in the old days, yeah, my life was threatened. But it isn't anymore, because we've turned the culture. We've changed the situation. And that's because of prayer. So I'm asking you, please pray. Last is to give. You know, the Bible says that without a vision, the people perish. But I've learned this. Without God's people supporting the vision perishes. I'm asking you to consider giving. And what I can tell you today through a great gift that was given to Urban Impact is that we've been given $65,000. That means for every gift that you give today will be matched up to $65,000. Now you're sitting out there and you're saying, I'm not really ready, I can't give today. Well, then we have a $100,000 gift that was given to us. Between now and the end of December, if you give a gift, it will be matched up to $100,000. Now I said this last night and I want to say this again. Your pastor really means what he says. A lot of I have a couple of really great churches that are around me, around Urban Impact, and they give and they pray and they serve, and we call these churches partner churches, and they're fantastic. But there are a lot of churches that we go into, and we'll bring the whole choir that's sitting up there, high kids up there, and they come down and they sing. Yeah, they're all waving at me. They come and they sing, and we get them up early in the morning. You know what? You know what time they were up this morning? Up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They came down, yeah. They hop buses. They come down, we serve them breakfast, we get them on buses, we drive them out. They practice, they come to serve. And we'll take them to churches, and then the pastor will tell me this. You could talk about everything, but don't talk about money. Now let me ask you a question. How do you pay your bills? Huh? You run a business? How do you run your business? How do you take kids who don't have a lot of options? How do you do it if you don't have what? Prayer, leadership, and money. Now look. If you can't give, don't go out of here guilty about that. You just go, man. It's okay. But if you can, just pray about it. Ask the Lord what he would have you do. And let's lock arms. And let's not miss our assignment for such a time as this. I had a friend of mine. He's a pastor. He hated reading and writing papers. But he was in college. and he had a literature class. And the only assignment in that class was to write one paper. And he procrastinated. He put it off. Until finally, 2 weeks before the assignment was due, he pulled out his syllabus. He went to the library, pulled those all-nighters. He wrote the paper. He got the paper in on time, and then he got it back. And on the paper, it said, good paper, good content, and it had a big F on the middle of the paper. And he looked at that thing, and he said, wait a minute, it's a good paper, good content. How in the world could I have an F? On the very bottom, it said, wrong assignment. Wow. Folks, we don't want to miss our assignment, right? We don't want to miss it. We don't have forever to do what God has called us to do. So don't miss it. Now, for those of you that are in this room and you've been wondering, am I just a creation or am I a child of God? You can be a child of God this morning, right here, right now. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was raised again from the dead so that you might know him in a personal way. Simply by committing yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know him. He can forgive your sin and give to you eternal life. If that's a decision you want to make, then I'm going to give you that opportunity to start that brand new ministry, that brand new relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your heads with me? Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray right now. We pray together. We ask you to forgive us of our sin. Forgive us. And I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. And I ask right now for the fullness of your Spirit, that you would come into our lives, my life right now, in Jesus' name, and fill me with your Spirit, that I would serve you the rest of my days. For Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.